God bless you. Good evening, good evening. Amen, amen. I thank God for this wonderful time that we are here. And I want to acknowledge Pastor Mike and Pastor Shell for the great work they are doing in this place. Amen. I enjoyed that band there. I wish I could take this to Dallas with me. These are good guys. I really, really enjoyed the music. I'm honored to be here, and we thank God for all you're doing here. You know, we travel to a number of churches across the country, and in each church you feel something. And in this place, there's just that liberty. There's just freedom in this place. Amen. You guys pray a lot, I can tell. Amen. There's so much prayer that goes on in this place, and I can feel the presence of the Lord in this place. I traveled with my beautiful wife. There it says 27 years. It's now 28 years. I added another year. Amen. You know, I married way above myself. Amen. When I was growing up, my mom told me, son, look, we are poor. If you marry another poor girl, then that means there will be two people in your house that are poor. Amen. Look up. Look for somebody who is better than you. Amen. You know, I've made so many mistakes in my life, but when it came to marriage, I hit the nail on the head. Amen. I married way above myself. Amen. In fact, the day this woman was born, I was actually there. I was right there in that maternity ward. Amen. And I looked over in the crib. She was laying in the crib. I looked over in the crib, and I winked my eye and smiled. And she smiled back at me. And I told her, when you grow up, I am going to marry you. And I married her. You know, Susan and I were born on the same day, the same year, in the same hospital on Christmas Day. Amen. So the day she was born, I was actually there. Amen. You don't believe my story? Because I remember there was a little girl that cried all night long. Oh, you don't believe my story? I was there. There was a little girl that cried all night long trying to draw my attention. Amen. And has been drawing my attention ever since. Amen. Amen. Come on, put your hands together for my beautiful wife. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're traveling with our daughter there. Amen. Karen, can you just wave? Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We thank God for what He is doing. We travel across the country teaching leadership, training leaders, developing leaders. A church will not grow beyond its leaders. So church growth is actually leadership growth. If we grow leaders, we grow churches. Amen. Now, as we travel across the country, we see so many things. There's so many people who think, oh, I don't have anything to contribute. There is no one who was created by the living God who doesn't have something. God has never created anyone who did not have anything. Everybody has something. Everybody is loaded with talents, and everybody is loaded with gifts. In the kingdom of God, there are no big I's and little U's. When you stand before the cross of Christ, there is no one who has any advantage. We are all the same. We are all equal. Amen? So everybody is gifted and everybody is talented. But I want to start this with you. Let's go to let's go to Mark. Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9, we want to read verse number 23. Mark chapter 9, verse number 23. If you have it, say, I have the word. If you're still looking like I am, say, please wait. Amen. We're gracious. Amen. Mark chapter 9, let's go to verse number 23. Did I say 23 or 33? Let's go to 33. Now, let's go to verse number 33. It says, then he came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, what was it you disputed among yourselves on the road? But they kept silent, for on the road they had disputed among themselves who would be the greatest. And he sat down and called the 12 and said to them, if anyone desires to be first, he shall be last of all and servant of all. Isn't it the problem we have in these days? Where people are trying to find out who is the greatest. I got this, you don't have this, I was here first, I got this. And it looks like the same problem has been going on where people are always trying to classify themselves in classes, thinking, I am better than this one, I'm better than... Let me tell you something I've discovered. I discovered there was no one better than you. There was nobody better than me. There are people with more money than you. There are people with more education than you. But there is no one better than you. There are people who are different from you. They are not better. They are just different. They got more stuff. Amen? Say they got more stuff. You see, there are some people with more stuff, more cars. But they are not better than you. Jesus then tells his disciples, hey, this is how the kingdom of God is. Those who are first, those who want to be great, have to learn to be a servant of all. Have to learn to serve. The kingdom of God is not about what you have. It's about the gifting that God has put in you. Let me tell you your significance in this world. Your contribution in this world is the gifting that God has gifted you. Amen. You were brought to this church, Tree of Life, you were brought to this church to contribute. I thought I was going to get an amen for that. Yes. You were brought here to contribute. You are loaded with talents. You are loaded with gifts. Amen. In fact, tell your neighbor, I have a gift. Oh, some people don't talk to their neighbors, even in church. Amen. Come on, tell your neighbor, I have a gift. As a matter of fact, come on, say, as a matter of fact, I have several gifts. Oh, that neighbor didn't really believe. Let's try the other neighbor. Say, neighbor, I am loaded with the gifts and the talents of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I want us to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. If you have it, say, I got the word. If you're still looking, say, please wait. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. If you have it now, say, I have the word. Look at verse number 4. Verse number 4 says, in fact, I forgot something I wanted to talk about a little bit, but before we go to verse number 4, we got some of our teachings out there in the foyer, in the lobby. Amen. You could stop by and look at them. I got this one called the Present Day Ministry of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. How many know the Holy Spirit has a present day ministry? Amen. I got this one called the Seven Fears Every Leader Must Overcome. Amen. There is fears that every leader must overcome. And I got this one called the Danger of Leading Frustrated. Amen. I've met some leaders who are so angry, and when they preach, they are not anointed. They are mad. Amen. Amen. How dangerous it is. And the other one we have is called the power of your personal destiny. Amen. Now, let's go back to our scriptures. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 4. Verse number 4 says, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but the same God who works
all in all. Verse number 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Say, for the profit of all. It says there are diversities of gifts. That word diversities means different kinds of gifts. Amen. I have a teaching I call the seven gifts that build churches. It's not the apostles, the prophets, the pastors, the teachers, as we always think it is. It is the other, the gifts of the Spirit that God has given. The gift of administration, the gift of teaching, the gifts of prophecy, the gift of working miracles. Those are the gifts that build churches. But Paul is saying here, there are diversities of gifts. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And that word gift comes actually from the Greek word, which is charismata or charisma. That word charismata means gifts of grace. These are not accomplishments. These are not badges of honor. These are not the things that God says, oh, you've been in the church long enough, let's put this on you. But these are gifts that are given by God by his own divine will. The criteria he uses, he never tells us. But there are diversities of gifts. There are diversities of charismata. Amen. I said amen. Given by the same Spirit. Let's move on at verse number 5. Verse number 5 says, let me move on to verse number 7. Verse number 7 says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to all to profit all. That word manifestation there is talking about the demonstration of the Spirit. The demonstration of the Spirit is given to everyone so all of us can profit. Let me tell you something. God brought you here to Tree of Life so we can profit from you. I thought I was going to hear a big amen. Let me try it on this side. I said, God brought you here to Tree of Life so we can profit from you. Your life is supposed to benefit us. We are supposed to benefit from your life because you came loaded. You came loaded with the gifts and the talents of God. Now, when God gives you, all the gifts are not totally complete. The Bible says we know in part and we prophesy in part. Amen. But as you mature, as you grow in the Lord, those gifts now begin to develop. Look, it says, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one. How many have not received the manifestation? Oh, come on, that's a simple question. It's not a tricky one. It says, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one. It's not just a select few. It's not just a few gifted ones. There is no one created by God who is not gifted. Your problem is you're busy looking at other people's gifts. And then you think you don't have yours. You're busy admiring others. You're busy spectating and cheering for others. You don't realize that, no, you are not here by accident. You are not here by mistake. It just didn't happen for you to be here. He says in Psalms 139, while you were still in your mother's womb, he knew you there. When your substance was not yet formed, God knew you there. So before you were, you already was. I know that doesn't sound like good English, but it explains my point. I said, before you were, you already was. He says, in there. Ooh, hallelujah. While you're in there, he was woofing you. He was making everything about you. That's the reason why no one should ever look at you down, because you are the fine work of God. Amen. God didn't outsource you. He custom made you. loaded you with talents, loaded you with gifts. It says the manifestation of the Spirit is distributed or is given to everyone. That word distribute means to appropriate. It means to deliver. It means to classify. The manifestation of the Spirit is delivered to each one, to each individual. Amen? That word individual, these gifts are individually made. They suit your personality. They suit your character. Amen. That's the reason why nobody should ever try and mess up with your character. Your personality, trying to change you. I tried that with my wife. Oh, my goodness. Huh? I tried to change the wiring of God. I says, Lord, let me put the red on here and the green on here. And it backfired. Nothing worked. I realized I cannot change yet. Ooh, hallelujah. Thank God I learned that sooner. Amen. After we had had World War III and we were about to have World War IV. I learned that the girl is not going to change. That's who she is. If I ever change her personality, I have to change everything about her. Her gifting, her talent. That's the way God made her. I had to learn to appreciate what God had created. Amen. And I understand. That's why the Bible says, husbands, live with your wife with knowledge. Amen. So he says he distributes these gifts to each individual. Individually means custom made. Individually means personalized gifts. You have a gift. As a matter of fact, you have several gifts. Amen. I said you have a gift. As a matter of fact, you have several gifts. If you really, really look into you, yourself, and pray and ask God, who am I? Amen? Or you can use the old English, who art me? Right? Something like that. The King James Version, amen. He will show you that you are loaded, you are talented, you are gifted. Everybody is not a preacher. Everybody is not a musician. Everybody is not a prayer warrior. You see, we have limited church gifts to those. We don't know that there are some people who are gifted by God to work behind the scenes. We have the gift of ministry. We have the people who have the gift of hospitality. When they mean saving, they don't just want to make a phone call. They actually want to go there and touch the person. That's their ministry. Amen. The prophets want just to prophesy while you're over there. But the people with the gift of hospitality and the gift of ministry, they want to go there and touch you. Look at what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter number 7. Chapter number 7. I think verse number 7. Chapter number 7, verse number 7. If you have it, say, I have the word. Look what Paul says. He was talking concerning marriage here, but look at what he says. For I wish that all men were even as I myself. But look at this. But each one has his own gift from God. One this manner, and the other that. Paul says, I wish all men were like I am. But it's not so. Because God has given each one his own gift. Come on, you got your own gift. Come on, tell you, I got my own gift. Thank God for yours, but I got my own gifts. Amen. I praise God and thank God for yours, but I got my own gift. He says each one has their own gift. And look what he says, one after this manner and one after that. All of us don't have the same gifts. All of us don't have the same kind of gifts. But God has given each one a gift. That's why you are here. So we can profit from you. Oh, hallelujah. I thought I was going to get a big amen when I said the profit from you. Amen. So we can profit from you. You were sent by God here to this house. Amen. To contribute. I want you to talk to your neighbor one more time. Tell your neighbor, I have a gift. You know, some people have a hard time thinking of any of themselves being having something. If you're a creation of God, you are no junk. You see, each time you accuse God for not giving, each time you tell yourself you don't have gifts, you are accusing God for being a creator of junk. You are accusing God for cutting corners. You are accusing God for showing favoritism. Anytime we find anything wrong with God, he stops being God. There is nothing wrong with you. Ooh, that's powerful. Let me say that again. There is absolutely nothing wrong with you. You're just different. Can I say that again? I say there is absolutely nothing wrong with you. You are just different. You are different by design. You're not different by mistake. You are designed different. That's why you don't see things the way everybody sees things. Nothing wrong with the way you see things. You are different. I can go, I've been married to my wife for 28 years. Our stomachs don't agree. I mean, what she likes to eat and what I like to eat is two different things. Amen. I love the girl, but I've got a problem with the food. Right? We are different. She got her own gift. I got my own gifts. Now, let's look at this scripture again in Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, if you have it, say, I have the word. Let's go to verse number 6. Verse number 6 says, verse number 6, you have it? Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Let us use them. It says, we have gifts that are different, that have been given to us. Ooh, hallelujah. You see, a gift is not an accomplishment. I tell preachers that anointing is not an accomplishment. Anointing is a gift. Amen. You don't create an anointing. An anointing is not a benefit that God, you are never anointed for you. You are always anointed for others. You are gifted for others. Your gift answers somebody else's problem. Your gift helps somebody. You are held by somebody else's gift. That's why we need one another. Because your gift ministers to me, my gift ministers to you. Amen. Some are helped with preaching, some are helped with one-on-one. There are some people who have the gift. They can do very well one-on-one. They have the capacity to listen. My wife is one of those people who have the capacity to listen. Amen. I want you to tell me your story and we quickly move on. But my wife wants to listen to your story and listen to your story. After she listens to your story, gives you some tissues, give you a shoulder to lean on and all that. Me, I just want to lay hands on you. You go. You're okay. But everybody does not function like that. it says we have gifts that are different, that are very different, and our gifts are given to us by the grace of God. Amen? It is the grace of God that has given each and every one of us the gift. Because you are custom made by God. God knows exactly what you need and how you function. You know, some people, they don't. They put you in a group. They just want you to be like everybody else. And they think there's something wrong with you because you are not nodding your head in agreement to everything that they are saying. You are seeing something different, and they don't understand why you are different. Now, I want to have time to do justice to these gifts that are listed here. But these are what I call the gifts that really built a church. Let's go further on verse number 7. In fact, let's finish verse number 6 that we were reading. It says, let me read it again. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. You were given the gifts. The purpose of the gifts is for them to be used. Amen. I've always heard people say, oh, they're using me. Yeah, you're supposed to be used. It's not your gift. You are the steward of the gift. You don't own. Amen. A gift is a copyrighted property of God. It's an intellectual property of God that is downloaded to a man, that is downloaded to your spirit. You can't claim that. That's illegal if you don't understand. I said it's illegal to take somebody else's things, gifts, and make them yours. Ooh, how we have so many preachers who take God's things and make them their own. You are only a steward of the gift of God. Amen. Now, I'm going to do this quickly here, but, you know, when next time we have time, we will look at it. It says, if it's prophecy, let us prophesy. Let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it to ministering. He who teaches in teaching. He who exhorts in exhortation. He who gives with liberality. He who leads with diligence. And he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. There are 7 gifts here that are mentioned, but I'm going to run through one of them. First of all, he says, he who prophesy. Now, this gift is one of those things that have been so distorted that when people hear about a prophet, they want to pack their bags and run. Amen. Because we have had so many weird prophets. Oh, my goodness. They got some prophets that are weird out there. Amen. But this gift of prophecy, we're not talking about the guy who walks in the aisle and they will prophesy to everybody and, oh, you're going to get a new car, a new house, and the like. But there are people who have the gift of prophecy. These are people who have a very keen sensitivity spirit. They hear things from the spirit and they can see things from the spirit. These are the people we need in prayer meetings. They know, they see something that everybody else is not seeing. We are ready to close the service. We are fooled with the makeup. We are fooled with the weave. Oh, sorry, I said weave. We're fooled with... But this gift, people with the gift of prophecy, they see beyond what is. They got a set of eyes that is beyond what is. So when we pray, they are not just praying. I heard Pastor talking about intercessory prayer. Those are the people that have the gift of intercession. Amen. They kind of see in the spirit. They sense some things. Amen. Just like we saw this during the service, amen, when our sister was talking. Amen. Some of us saw nothing. I mean, nothing. Amen. It was just light. We saw nothing. But the gifting that she has allows you to go deeper into other things and see what all of us or what many of us don't see. Come on, tell your neighbor, I have a gift. As a matter of fact, I have several gifts. Oh, some people don't talk to their neighbors. Amen. Number two, it says those who have the gift of ministry. The gift of ministry. These are the people we need in the hospitality ministry. They have the extra grace. Amen? They are not the ones who need extra grace. They have the extra grace. You know, there are some people that I call the extra grace needed people. Amen. Amen. They're born again. They are full of the Holy Spirit. But there's a little bit extra grace that's needed. Amen. But the people with the ministry, with the gift of ministry, their ministry is serving. They don't want to sing. They don't want to preach. They don't want to be seen on the pulpit. They don't want to stand up there. They like to serve behind the scenes. Hospitality, ushering, loving people. That's their ministry. Amen. And we need to incorporate those people in our churches and in our services so that they don't just come and spectate other people doing everything. Amen. So there are people who have the gift of ministry. And then the other one, he says, the gift of teaching. The gift of teaching is the gift that, you see, one sure sign that you have the gift of teaching is you just don't want to talk. You want to have something to talk about. I've met a lot of people who can talk, but they have nothing to talk about. You see, if you have a gift of teaching, your number one quest and desire, one of the things that you do most is you study and research. Because teaching is 80% research and 20% presentation. Amen? It's not the other way around. It's 80% research. You like to study. There are some people who like to study, who like to explain the truth. Those are the people we need in the Sunday school class. You put a prophet there, they want to prophesy on everybody. Amen. You cough. Get thee behind me, sir. Amen. I wish I had more time. We could go further. Then there is the gift of exhortation. There are people who have the gift of exhortation. When you are down, when everything is looking like, whoo, what am I going to do? The prophet wants to come with a word from the Lord. The teacher wants to show you in the scriptures. You know, the Bible says healing. The Bible says, oh, you don't have money? Are you a tither? Let me show you where it says about tithing. That's what a teacher wants to do. But a person with the gift of exhortation, these are the people we need in counseling. One of the greatest things about these people, they can listen. You see, counseling is not talking. It's listening. I thought I was going to get an amen. You know, sometimes I'm counseling people and they're talking. And then I ask them, what do you think we should do? I'm surprised they have an answer. They already know what to do. The only thing is they wanted somebody to listen to their story. Amen. There are people in this house. There are people among us who have the gift of exhortation. You are down, you talk to them, you feel, you believe you can fly. Amen. I said, when you talk to them, when they talk to you, they encourage you so much. They exhort you so much. They lift you so much. They make you believe you can do it. Amen. Then there is a gift. There is a gift of giving. Ooh, hallelujah. I was going to ask how many have that gift, but no, let me not do that. Those who have the gift of giving don't only have the ability to give. The people with the gift of giving have the ability to get. These are people who are wise in financial issues. Amen. They know how to make money and they know how to spend it right. They don't just give the grease to the wheel that squeaks the most. They give grease to the wheel that needs the most. Inside them, they have the ability to work out the money issues. You give them a little money, they know how to multiply it and work it. For some reason, somehow, the budgets end up working all right. Amen. They are detailed people. They like details. Ooh, hallelujah. Some of us, the bill is due when it's past due. If they haven't sent the cut-off notice, it's not yet due. Well, yeah, they have to send the pink slip. Then, oh, the electric bill needs to be paid. The people with the gift of giving, they saw it coming before the pink slip came in. They already had it. Now, if we just put a teacher there, he just want to teach you the principles. If you put a prophet there, they want to prophesy. Thus says the Lord, increase, increase, increase. But a person with the gift of giving knows how to do it. Even in your family, in your life, find out who can take care of the bills. I thought I was going to get an amen. Amen. Then it says, there is those who have the gift of showing mercy. The gift of leading. The gift of leading. The gift of administration. People who have the gift of administration are serious about deadlines and schedules. They just don't do things. They plan. They have foresight. They look far. They don't see now. They see ahead. They look far. There are people among us who have the gift. Amen. Who have the gift of administration. Everybody, like I said, is not a preacher. A church is not just built by preaching. Amen. There are those people who know what they're doing. Amen. God has given them a know-how. They know how to put things together. Amen. They don't wait for the day and say, oh, we don't have this. We don't have this. No, they looked far ahead and saw things coming. Amen. Come on, say, I got a gift. As a matter of fact, I have several gifts. Let's look at the last one here. It's the gift of showing mercy. How we so desperately need that in the church today. In our busy, busy, busy world. A gift person with the gift of showing mercy. Those are the kind of people who'd like to go to hospitals. When somebody is sick, they just don't do with a phone call. It's okay, everybody can make a phone call. But these kinds of people, their way of ministering is actually by touching the person. If they don't go there, if they don't touch the person, if they don't physically be there, they feel like they haven't done their ministry. I'm talking to some people here that have that gift. Don't worry about singing. That's not your gift. Sing for yourself in the shower. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. The wonderful. Leave those who can sing. Was it Pastor James who was singing here? Brother James? Yeah, leave the Brother James to lead us in worship. Amen. Let them do what they are called to do. It doesn't sweat. Did you see him there? Just get the microphone. Wake him from his sleep and say, hey, we need a song. He will sing, I'm telling you. In his dream, he will sing. Because he's wired for that. Amen. There are some people who have the gift of showing mercy. When everybody's saying, oh, no, no, I can't stand seeing suffering people, they like to go there and minister to suffering people, bringing extra things, helping. These are the gifts that build a church. But many times we've emphasized on the preachers. We have emphasized on the prayer warriors. We've emphasized on those that sing. We forgot, no, there are people here. You see, the church is a body with individual members. Each member is not like the other member, but each member needs the other member. The church is never designed to be like an organization. It's designed to function like a body. You are here to contribute. You are here to help us with your gift of showing mercy, with your gift of administration. When we are planning our things and we don't know how to do it right, you have the wisdom, the knowledge, the know-how to do it. It just comes natural to you. Let me say this to you as I close. The greatest discovery you can do in your life is to find out who you are. And nobody else can tell you who you are except the one who created you in the very first place. There was a time in the eternity past when you and God were together. Everybody else was not there. Oh, thank God. Thank God they were not there when God was drafting and making you. Thank God there were no people. I know people. They would have come there with their own opinions. They would have told God, oh, do this, do this. Oh, thank God your husband was not there. He was going to tell God, add this up. Oh, take some more. Put this. Thank God. He says in secret, he created you. You are the original plan of God. I mean, the original plan. You are not a copy. You are not a carbon copy. There's nothing wrong with you. Oh, let me say that again. Absolutely nothing wrong with you. You're just different. I'm walking in life looking for what you created me to be, Lord. You brought me here so I can people can profit from me. You created me in this world so I can make a contribution. I'm not going to preach, but I can touch your heart. Amen. Oh, I am quiet and reserved. Ooh, those are the kind of people God uses. See, the Bible says even a fool is regarded as wise if he doesn't say anything. But many times people just opening their mouth to say, oh my goodness, all the foolishness in them comes out. But quiet people, I like quiet people. They are very, very sensitive and discerning. Amen. Those who talk a lot, sometimes things just pass by. But the quiet people see things. God can use you in your quietness. You are not an afterthought. I said you are not an afterthought. God created you and loaded you with gifts and talents. Now make me a promise today that you will never accuse God, not even one day, for being a creator of junk. Amen. Come on, can you promise me that? I said, can you promise me that? Some are not sure. That you will never accuse him for making junk. You are not junk. Let's stand to our feet. Amen.